speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
If you have your Bible tonight, let's begin reading with the first chapter of the book of John and verse 1, where he says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and not anything that was made without Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth it not. And even then this we find, the life is the light of the world. In Him was life, and the life was the light of the world." What a wonderful thing to find light where there was only darkness. And indeed, that's what we find in Jesus Christ, the Son of Righteousness. How glorious it is to see Him say, "All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and upon earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, and lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the world," Matthew 28, verse 18 through 20. In Ephesians 1, verse 22-23, he said he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So when we see in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and all things were made by Him, and in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Then in John 1:14, that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, John said, as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And in John 3:16, He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life." And this is the condemnation, says verse 19 of the third chapter, that light has come into the world. But men love the darkness rather than the light, because their works were evil. What a sad shame that men would not receive the light when it came. But Jesus it is who said in John 8 and verse 12, "I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness." Then again in John 9 and verse 5, he said, "I am the light as long as I'm in the world. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." In John 14:6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." Then again, we find in John 3 that here the light was rejected because men's works were evil. And because of their evil work, they're still rejecting Him now. The Christ is not welcomed in many communities because the deeds are evil. The Christ and Christians are not welcome in many people's presence because their works are evil. They don't like the light because the light makes manifest the things that are evil. And when evil is made manifest, it hates that which exposes it. When Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, "Timothy, I charge thee in the sight of God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the living and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust they shall heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and they shall be turned unto fables. But continue thou in all things. Do the work of an evangelist, suffer the hardship, fulfill thy ministry." Now here is the light that came into the world. Men rejected it. But it was the glorious Son of God. He was the light of the world. He was the one we were to follow if we would not walk in darkness. He is the one who presents the Word, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Preach the Word means to preach Christ. It means to preach Jesus and Him crucified. It means to preach nothing else but that. In John 6:63, He said, "The Spirit giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And so when we hear Him say in Matthew 5 and the great Sermon on the Mount beginning in verse 14, "Ye are the light of the world. A city set up on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a lampstand, so that it shineth to all that are in the house. Even so let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." With these verses before us then, I think we can understand the importance of light. I know that we know how attractive it is. We drive down the streets of your town here and we see different lights that draw our attention to them. You can't miss them. You see them because they're flashing or because they're steady. But you see them anyway. And you know the same is true with Christians. Though Jesus was the light of the world while He was here, when He left the work with us. And we are now to be the light of the world as we reflect Him. We are to bring before others the light of the world. And what a forceful forecast. Matthew the 5th chapter, verse 14 through 16 is, of all the pervading power of the gospel that dwells in Christians, as they not only teach, but as also they live before others. And it is the diffusion of Christianity that will bring men out of darkness and into light. How wonderful that the darkness can't grow too thick, that it can't grow too dense, for the truth of the gospel to shine the light there. My friends, if we are the light of the world, let us not forget the importance of our mission. Let us not forget the importance of that which we're doing. We have a work to do. And when the world gets darker, we get brighter. You know, some people complain about how dark the old sinful world is now. Right, it is. But that's all the more why Christians ought to be shining. We are the light of the world. And we're following the One who is the original light. We, like the moon, are only a reflection of what the sun has done. And so the light that shines through us is indeed so important. You know, first of all, that life, or light, means life. Because in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. How wonderful to see the earthly life dependent upon the light of the sun that dwells and shines upon our earth daily. And so it is that the life of a child of God is dependent upon the Son of Glory. If we have not Him, we don't have anything. We don't possess anything of the life by which we can bear fruit and glorify our Heavenly Father. So we want to notice about light that it means life. But light is also revealing. You know, in a darkened room, you can't see anything in the air. But you let the sunlight of morning stream into that room and you see all kinds of particles in that air. And so it is that light is revealing. Light is able to reveal the things such as that which is wrong in the lives of men, and that's the reason they hate it. And they don't want the light. They don't want the gospel. They don't want Christians around when they want to do evil. Because light is revealing. And the reaction of the world continues to be made against Christians because the sin of the world is revealed and it is condemned. You've got to know the power of light. You've got to know that light means life. You've got to know that light is revealing. You ought to know also that light works silently. Light shines, and yet it makes no noise that we can hear. Yet it is so powerful, isn't it? How often do you hear the rays of the sun? You don't hear them at all, and yet you realize that the rays of the sun bless our universe. That the rays of the sun come at an amazing amount of speed at about 186 miles a second. That's a very fast light, isn't it? And that's the reason it's called light. Well, in a similar manner, the child of God is working diligently. Though he is not boastful, though he is not proud, though he is not arrogant, though he's not making a lot of noise, he's shining as a light. He's upholding the word of truth. And as Jesus wanted us to do, he's glorifying the Father, which is in heaven. We ought to know also about light that it's pure. You know, light can shine into a defiled situation, but it doesn't defile the light. The light remains pure. It has been learned by doctors that they can use light in treating illness. And they realize that the rays of these lights, when cast upon a defiled thing, it doesn't defile the light. And when the light of the gospel shines into the hearts of sinners, it doesn't defile the light. It just keeps on shining. And we are to be in the world where sin exists, but we're to strive to remain undefiled. We're to be the light that shines in the darkness, but we're not to be a part of the darkness. We're not to be a part of those who are conformed to this world. Romans 12 and verse 1, Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual service. Watch it. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God. There's another thing about light that I enjoy noticing, and that light is cheering and it's comforting. They're learning now more about light, and it's real importance in our lives. There are a lot of people who are very depressed if the light goes down. In the winter time, they have series of depression. But when they sit in a room where there are bright lights, such as there are in here, their spirit is lifted. And so it is with the gospel light. When it comes into the hearts of men that are full of darkness, it'll bring light and it'll bring comfort. It'll bring consoling thoughts to their minds. It is indeed like the psalmist said, a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And it is that which relieves depression, and it relieves the anxieties and the difficulties. You know how thick that darkness was in Egypt? It was so thick they could feel it with their hands nearly. And you know how dark the thickness, or how thick the darkness will be in eternity? It will be worse than that. I sat a few years ago in Carlsbad Cavern. Maybe some of you have been there. And way down in the heart of the earth, they turned all the lights off down there. I never was as miserable in that few moments in my life. I couldn't see anything. And finally, way over the way, there was a small light turned on and a quartet that sang a song. I was never so glad to see a light in my life. Friend, that little bitty bulb over there lifted my spirit. I wanted to see that light. Now, if you will, just picture the whole darkness of the world. We're living in a terrible world. It's in a terrible shape. But that Christian's light shines and it draws men's attention to it. Light, then, is very important to us in comforting and cheering. You know, light's very active, too. Light is not something that is passive. It's very active. A beam of light travels at that incredible speed of 186,000 miles a minute, or a second, rather. And so it is with the light of the Christian. It is that which is very active. An inactive believer is contrary to God's design for the child of God. And last of all, light is very powerful. It is the most powerful thing known to man. It has tremendous potential for helping man. You know, the laser beam can be as big as a football field, or it can be as small as a pinhead. But the laser beam is that which is able to heal, and it's also able to cut metal or to make impressions in wood. It's amazing what the power of that light is. And so it's amazing of the power of the light that the child of God has. As he shines forth in the world, he may think, I don't have any power. I don't have any importance. Don't ever sell yourself short, Christian friend. You're the only light some people have. You're the light of the world. And you are to be powerful. You are to be active. You are to be comforting and cheering. You are to be pure. You are to be silently working. You are to be revealing. And you are to bring life not only to yourself by this light, but also to the world about you. Now, if we understand that light is the emblem of purity and love and righteousness and truth, and that darkness, on the other hand, is pictured in the Bible as sin and unrighteousness and ignorance and death, then we're understanding a little more about life and death. We're understanding more about light and its meaning to the world. I realize then that light is being attractive, the emblem of these things, and that Judges 5 and verse 31 says, so let all thine enemies perish, O Jehovah, but let them that love thee shine forth as the sun as he goeth forth in his might. That's what he wants for us. And you know, you can't stop the light of heaven. You may hide from it, but you can't put it out. And that's what it means when he says they can't comprehend it or they can't overcome it. You may take a nickel, though, and hold it so close to your eye that you cannot see the sun. Many people take their sins, and they don't see the sun. They don't see the sun of righteousness because they have that so closely drawn to their eye that they blot it out. How sad to see that the light is here, and yet men rejected the light for the darkness because their works were evil. How sad to see many Christians who are unequally yoked together with unbelievers, and they have fellowship and communion with darkness. And really they have none, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 14. For our wrestling, Ephesians 6:12, is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world, against the spiritual wickedness in high places. When did we become lights in the world? Well, when we were translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. Colossians 1:13, that's what Paul said to those Colossian brethren who had been buried with their Lord and risen with Him through faith in the operation of God. He said, we were delivered as captives are delivered out of the power of darkness. Satan's only power is to hold us in darkness, where the light of the gospel cannot reach us. But He delivered us out of the power of darkness and translated us. He changed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. How wonderful now to not any longer walk in darkness. We're rescued by the gospel. Romans 8, 1 and 2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death." And so the truth, the law of the Spirit of life, not only brings us life, it brings us light so that we can understand and see clearly the way that we are to go. The path of the just, says Proverbs 4:18, is like unto the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. If you woke up early in the morning and you verily see the little light as it begins to shine, and soon it keeps increasing and increasing until the noonday, the brightness and the strength of the sun is amazing. You know, that's the way a child of God is. The path of the righteous is like the dawning light. In other words, we just grow and we grow and we grow and we grow until we are powers. So far as the darkness is concerned, it can't overcome us. It cannot at all stop us because we're walking in the light of the gospel of Christ. And that path, of course, is drawn out by the Word of God. The opening of thy Word giveth light, Psalms 119, verse 130. And it giveth understanding unto the simple. It giveth those things by that Word. John 6:63 that we noticed a moment ago, it is the Spirit that giveth life. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I have spoken unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now, if this world is in a place of total depravity because of sin, and we are the only hope it has, how important is our work? How important to know we're the light of the world? Are you remembering that? Are you remembering that your light must shine in order for you to help the world? If your light doesn't shine, there's not any light. If the Word doesn't go forth through you, then you're not what you ought to be. If there is no work, no teaching, there is no life. So in Mark 4:21, when he said unto them, is the lamp brought to be put under a bushel or under the bed and not upon a stand? Why, he's asking us, is our influence not going to be used? Are we going to be as those who hide our light, even though we were able to help those who are about us? What is the Christian's light anyway? I think we've discussed that pretty fully. But look at what was written to the Philippian brethren. In Philippians 2 and verse 12, he said, "So then, my beloved brethren, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in mine absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to work according to his good pleasure. Now you do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be harmless, blameless children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom," watch it, "ye are seen as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may have whereof to glory in the day of Christ, that I do not labor in vain, neither run in vain." Well, are we harmless and blameless children of God? Are we holding forth the word of life? Will the one who converted us be ashamed in the day of judgment because we really weren't what we should have been? One night there was an old rattletrap of a car that got hit by a train. And the flagman who was in charge of the crossing had to go into court. And the judge and the jury and the lawyers cross-examined him. They said, "Did you swing your light?" He said, "Yes, I did." They asked him over and over and over, "Did you swing the light?" He said, I did. And the next day back at the office, his boss said to him, "I was afraid you was going to give in last night when they were asked, or yesterday when they were asking you so many times, did you swing the lantern? Did you swing the light?" He said, "I did swing the light, but I was so afraid they were going to ask me if it was lit." Well, you know, my friends, I'm afraid many Christians are swinging a light, but it's not lit. You know, that's the reason for the foolish virgin in Matthew 25. They had the vessel. They had the light. They were Christians, but it wasn't lit. They had no good works. And he said because they were lacking in that, it was time for judgment. And they were unable to go in because their light was burning low and going out. I wonder if we as Christians who have the lamps, I wonder if our lamps are going out. I wonder if our oil is running low. You cannot do in the last few moments of your life the righteous acts you should have done for 40 years. You must do them while you can. In John 9:4, Jesus said, "We must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work." You don't have to get out and blow about how good you are. You don't have to tell people how bright your light is. Just let it shine. One black preacher said about Matthew 5 and verse 16, it doesn't say shine your light. It says let your light shine. And he's right. You never did see a lighthouse that had to shoot a gun to get somebody to look at it. You never did see a lighthouse that had to get out and blow a horn so somebody would look at it. It just steadily shines the light. You know that's what we as Christians ought to be doing. Because the darkness is dwelling all about us. And unless we're shining the light, the wicked and the evil people who are in this darkness, which conceals them, won't be revealed by the light. It is indeed important that we know that light is important to our lives. It kills germs. It's able to kill sinner too. It'll kill the sin in your life. You know, you put milk in a glass, and then you put it under a water hydrant, and you push the water hydrant on, and it'll fill the milk and run it out. And the same is true with the truth of the gospel, the light of the word. If you fill your life enough with the word of the truth, it'll run the evil out, and it'll kill the germs that are there. Many need the gospel light. Many are lost because they don't have it. You know, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 3 through 6, if our gospel be hid, it's hid in them that perish, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should not dawn upon them. And if you don't get it out there, and I don't get it out there, it's not going to dawn on them. And they're going to perish because the knowledge is the light and the darkness overtakes them. Well, you know, also, darkness can produce blindness. If you stay in the dark long enough, you lose your eyes. I've always been impressed with those blind fish at Mammoth Cave. And I inquired as to why those fish were blind at Mammoth Cave. And they said because they never needed their eyes. And they finally just lose them. They're way down in the darkness. And they have no eyes. You know, Christians can lose their eyesight. In fact, Peter said in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11, now you give all diligence to add unto your faith virtue and knowledge and temperance and patience and godliness and brotherly kindness and love. And if these things be in you to abound, they'll make you that you're neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, but watch this. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and he can't see what's afar off, and he's forgotten that he was once purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, ye shall never fall, and thus shall be richly supplied unto you an entrance into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How much time do we have? 10 more minutes. All right. Now, this light, then, is so important to us. Because adding these things to our life, we can retain our eyesight. But it is sad to see blind Christians who have forgotten they were once purged from their old sins, who have forgotten that they are to add these virtues of life to their lives, who have forgotten to be a light in the world that's able to get rid of the germs. And those foolish virgins realized at the last moment how sad their condition was. Because when the master of the house went in, the door was shut. And they stood without. Now that's not five people of the world, five people in the church. That's 10 people in the church. But 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. I hope that we are among the wise, aren't you? That not only have the lamps, but we also have the good, righteous lives to go with the lamps. That's the way our light ought to be shining. Jesus said in Matthew 7:24, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them should be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon the rock. And the rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, but it didn't fall, for it was founded on the rock. But whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not should be likened unto a fool. The rains descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon that house, but it fell not, for it was founded on the rock. Now our life, furthermore, should be very constant. I love these lights in here because they don't flick on and off. I wouldn't be able to see very good, and you wouldn't either if we had to depend on a flickering light, would it? How would you like to read with a light that came on a little bit, went off a little bit? Came on a little bit, went off a little bit. It'd be hard, wouldn't it? Be disturbing. You know, it's just as disturbing for our neighbors around us when they're trying to see the light, but we're on part of the time and we're off part of the time. If we're spasmodic in our faithfulness, if we're spasmodic in letting our good lives be seen, if we're spasmodic in letting our light shine, then we can't be depended upon. And the Lord and the people who are looking to us for help can't depend on us. What a sad thing to think of the light being in the world and yet us having the light and it being spasmodic in our life. Constant light, though, is protection. That constant light that shines and shines and shines, it's that which keeps the evil away. I heard about a man one time lost out in the woods. First thing he did was build a fire, keep the wolves away. You know, those wolves wouldn't attack him as long as that fire was there. The light was there. Now, the same thing is true with our Lord in Matthew 4. When the devil came to tempt him, why, he had the light. He said, it is written. And it cared for the devil, and he left him and did not tempt him until later. But we find that that light sometimes is not in our lives as it should be, and so we don't run the wolves away. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, "Beware false prophets that come to you in sheep's clothing, but are inwardly ravening wolves." And in Acts 20:28, Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, "Take heed unto yourselves and unto the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to feed the church of the Lord which he purchased with his own blood. But after my departing, grievous wolves are going to enter in, not sparing the flock, and from among your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Well, now, are you going to have the fire built so the wolves can stay away? Do you know the truth so that you can defend the cause of Christ? Keep the wolves of error away? You know, that's our responsibility. Our light must continually shine. We have to have that light so that we can have the blessings of life ourselves, and so that we may give them unto others. But you know, my friends, further, for a good light, there are several things necessary. You have to have a good focus, first of all. If your focus is out of line, then you're in trouble. You have to have your focus on the right thing. Then that reflector that's there has to be clean. You have to keep the reflector clean in order for the light to shine as it ought to. And third of all, you don't want to have any obstructions there. All right, the focus then is not on ourselves, but it is on the knowledge of the truth of God. And our reflector, of course, means our pure life. If you don't keep that pure, then that reflector is not going to do what it ought to. And if there are obstructions, such as ignorance, or such as pleasures getting ahead of our service to the Lord, our family ties, or pride, or negligence, or selfishness, then our obstructions will be greater than our light. And you know, wind and dampness can cut out a lot of lights. And wind and dampness have put out some lights in Christians. Temptations have come. Dissatisfaction has come. And their light that once burned brightly has now gone dim. Matthew 24:12, Jesus said, "Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Well, now Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." Jesus said, "If you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness, but you'll have the light of life." He said, "As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." And we need to be walking in our Lord if we would be what He would be or have us to be. In 1 John 1:5-7, we find John writing there, "This is the message that we received and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all." And he said, "If a man say, I have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, he lies, and the truth is not in him. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin." What a privilege to have the light of life in our life. What a privilege that Jesus came to the world, went to the cross, suffered for us, that we might be raised to walk in newness of life from the waters of baptism, having heard His word, where the light shines, having believed it with all of our hearts, having repented of the sins of our life to bring it into focus with His desires for us, having confessed with our mouth Jesus as Lord, and been baptized into His blood, into His death, in order that we may be cleansed from all past sins and began to shine in the world as He would have us to be. Friend, I hope that your light burns brightly. I hope that you continue to live the Christian life as you should, that heaven may be your home at last. Thank you.